various stakeholders and stabilizing the agency, being contributed and creating an environment for us as the interim board to tackle some of the core challenges. So all of the bodies play the statutory course in the role within the short term, and that is the Minister of Communications, the interim board, the Auditor General, the FFEC management, all other stakeholders like the union, the staff associations, you know, the equity, the coalition, you know, as well as the parliamentary committee. Because everybody focuses on policy issues, governance, implementation, and the oversight, and that has really enabled us to achieve some of the big wins we were looking for. So if you look at the key objectives, when we came on the 31st of October, and it wasn't a deliberate use the aim to sell it. Sorry, that's the basically life now, that's
the
the background of the system, but anyway. Significant progress has been made, you know, since we came to Parliament. In Spain, we said that we needed to resolve the race dispute, the impact of the former CEO, interesting plans for paying of critical debt, the re-establishment of corporate governance. We gave a whole list to Parliament of the things that we've done, and as you can see, most of them have either been completed and others are in progress at the moment. And there's no red on there, which means most of the things are either completed or in the process of being completed, so that by the time we released by the end of November, we would have all of that to be green. I won't run through it, but it's basically the issue of stabilizing the SABC. Then there were legislative compliance issues, which is establishing the audit committee, complying with the all legislative broadcasting act, CHSA in terms of the finalization of the annual report, submitting to Parliament, and having an annual general meeting. In terms of operational issues, we had to ensure that 2020 for World Cup remains on track. We had to oversee and support the forensic investigation by the Auditor General. We had to ensure implementation of compliance with the Directorship Authority framework. And then basically manage some of the security issues, which at the moment is one of the key issues that we are currently facing. So when we look at the deliverables, and maybe just to get the context in which we've operated, since we've been appointed, overall we basically had about 14 board meetings. We have had two staff re-education sessions where we have addressed all the FABC staff. We have had approximately, I would say, about 10 sessions, operational sessions with the management. We have met, we've had about 3 sessions with the local producer committees to try and resolve issues. We had some sessions with one session with the content providers, and various sessions. So a lot of many decisions have been made, because we have to be made very quickly. Board meetings have to be called at very short notice. So we're only giving you a high level of the extent that we have done, but what we will do as part of our exercise, this is not an exercise report, but as part of the rural topic, we are preparing complete documentation of everything that we have done. So in terms of the stabilization, the waste dispute, we all know it's been resolved, but just some of the details you might not know, it takes 8% across, 10% across the board to work with. 8% was paid in August, that takes it to 1 April. That's the title. 1.5% will be paid in December 2009. We did deduct to their salary for the strike action, and the 1 day was deducted in August, and 1 day will be deducted in November. We also agreed that there will be a one-off payment of 2,000 rand, subject to SABC delivering a profit of 21 million by May 2010. The senior management, they received a 5% across the board increase, that dated to April. Because those are management just below the executive of the salary of the 16 in the operation, and the executive management didn't receive any increase. There is a listing of the impact whether we evolve that as well, and I know the former members of Parliament raised a lot of questions with the minister regarding that, but the money that has been saved was 6.7 million, which was saved by the time we were appointed. We had a legal fee of 2.1, which was saved, 900,065, which was a bonus payment, which was saved, and then as well as a return of trade of 4.4 million. We then also agreed to there were some cost-cutting directives on the 15th of July, where we agreed no return taxes. In fact, at the moment, we have about 135 million rand lease liability in the book of SABC. We then said no return taxes, and that all accumulated lease had to be taken within 6 months, or people will lose the day, obviously, unless there's a special dispensation by the board. And some of the special dispensations we are taking at the moment. To date, quite a number of people have been taken, this is not enough, but it's only been about a 2 billion rand saving, over the past 2 months in terms of this that we've taken out data. And I think the objective of the new board is us carrying this over to them, that we need to reduce our liability to maybe 10 or 15 million before we are using the money. We reduced the air travel up to now in terms of the directives that all travel will be up to 6 hours walking economy class, and then there will also be reduction in international hotel daily cost ranges. We've also given a directive that there will be no technical card that's not implemented as yet, because we're in the process of determining the cap. We now have to get experts to look at the cap, because that's one of the recommendations by the Audit Council. So within the next 3 weeks, we will have to look at the cap and implementing that as well. And then everybody has to now adhere to all the policies. So there was a long list of things we agreed to. Just on the air travel, for example, I know it was another question. Approximately about 8 million rand savings on the air travel over about, I think, 300 people. And then the key issue, what we said, we will call the key vacant position. We took a principal decision to re-advertise all the positions, or the top positions, to ensure transparency. However, the shortlisted candidates, which was agreed to by the previous board, we said we will retain it, but we will just reopen it, which is this. So the group CEO position was advertised. The deadline ended in September. We had sourced the assistance of an external company to assist the board. The candidates are shortlisted candidates are first being interviewed by them. And towards next week, the end of next week, we will most probably interview those candidates. As far as the Chief Operations Officer position is concerned, in line with the court order and the recommendation by previous board, the interim board submitted the recommendation to the shareholder for the decision. So that's the current issue at the moment. And there's not a delay at the shareholder level, but rather other issues that come with this position. So that position, unfortunately, cannot be called until the issue is resolved. And I think as we go later on, we will see why we are saying that. The head of news, we had a position exercise. All interviews were held with a shortlisted candidate. The decision on the way forward is pending, and it was a lot of pending on the closure of the policy of the group. So that is still outstanding. That's Some of the operational issues, we had agreed to the close of the International News Bureau. This is one of the two issues, the News Bureau. One of the major contributing factors about the cost, the losses, I think, as of year end along. But the actual cost to year end was about 60 million, despite the fact that the previous was only approved about 36.9 million. One of the key issues were that the budget and the strategy were not aligned. Initially, there were 13 offices established, and the previous board closed 3. The interim board closed 5 in China, thousands of your Senator Wall Street. And we had made a decision to retain the city of Europe, Nigeria, Zimbabwe, Kenya, London, and New York. Both of the correspondents and the staff were redeployed. So put those which have been made today with most of the bureaus that have been closed. So in some are not actually bureaus, there are more correspondents that will be now in some of the countries, for example, like Kenya and Zimbabwe and Nigeria. On the FIFA World Cup, we said we will ensure that it's on track. We approved about 65 million for CapEx and office related expenses for that. The local funding was obviously very key for us in terms of what the business decisions were required. It's very important that we maintain that, so we have recommitted some of the about 3 major local programs to the value of 275 million. Because that was insisted reinforced with our local funding. On the overdue payments, we say that we will also settle and try and address the issues. It wasn't our major priority, but of course we have to take into account that we need the industry need to survive. So the board approved that all overdue payments to all producers under 200,000 which haven't been paid, that has to be paid. There will come, I must say, administratively there is a lot of challenges. We even had to approve waiving some of the procedures so that they can be paid. So we're hoping that all payments will be made by the and the money has been set aside specifically for those local producers. The other issue, I think most the public and the parliament is aware that we submitted an adapted estimate for national expenses. We prepared ourselves and submitted an AAPE to the executive authority, Minister of Communication, and we submit to Treasury. And that dealt with unavoidable and unforeseen expenses to identify. That 200 million was approved by National Treasury, and the payment will be received by FOBC from November to March 2010, so we haven't got it in the end yet. And the funds will be utilized for local commission countries, funding that's already been committed to follow those mandates. On the employment contract, we have said that we need to be performance-based contracts to be deployed and implemented. This we are also handing over to the permanent board, but we've made a decision that all contracts over 3 years have to be approved by the board because currently in place there are 10 and 20, quite a number of people who have entered or signed their contracts at the AWC. So we basically took every contract about 3 years must be approved by the board. And that's really, and then we say that that's the case, the updated people, dedicated as far as the service. On the legal and operational system, I think I'll just elaborate a little bit on this. Our financial statements, one of our key objectives that we set is that we need to submit, we ensure that we, in fact, the first one, was first the establishment of an audit committee. Now, we were only 5 non-executive members that was appointed, and none of us are part of the accountants, and we felt that it was very important to have 2 part of the accountants on the audit committee. So we brought in 4 external members who were all part of the accountants onto the external audit committee. we are currently, we've been completed most of the standing in the annual report, we've been finalized, and then only two are now remaining, and they will most probably be in the permanent board this summer handover of 2024. So we still have to end up on the, as a chairman of the audit committee. I must say one of the senior, that we are very good, competent female, staff of the county. So the audit of financial statements in the report, most of the issues that were raised previously at the time we were appointed in the financial statements have been finalized. Except that the annual, the audit of financial statements and the annual report are not finalized because at the moment it was attending the finalization of the APBC and the going concern. As you're aware that just to give an example, we had a huge loss, it's on about 910 million rand loss as of March 2009, which is the financial year of the ABC. And since then, the ABC has had an estate running at an overdraft of approximately 580 million rand. And obviously what has happened since then, they received the revenue, and the revenue that they have received is also lower. The cost has been higher as well. I mean, though the costs are being controlled quite tightly, I know now in the first and the second quarter of the financial year. And very important is that when you have a liquidity problem, you have not enough cash to pay your suppliers. It means that it's very important for an auditor when they sign up on financials to know that this company will be a going concern. It means that they will have enough cash to buy, they will be supported by the shareholders. And this is normal practice in business. They will be supported basically by business and by the shareholders. It will enable the company to continue to operate within the coming year. Now, of course, so what we did as the board, we together with management, we prepared a government guarantee application, which we then prepared and submitted that for approval to a data going concern. Because it's very important that, I mean, it's not possible for a government entity not to be a going concern before, you know, the report actually is paid. We are very comfortable that the application has been prepared, in fact, tomorrow. It's been presented to the government guarantee committee. And the minister, both the Minister of Communication and the Minister of Finance, therefore, in light of this, have supported the extension for the submission of the annual report. So we think that we'll get approval next week, then we will put the report is finalized, except for the going concern. It can be signed up by the auditors under the concern. So that's really one of the outcomes. Regarding the, so just some of the key focus areas, just to summarize in terms of the liquidity, that issue that we are now focusing on is the liquidity and the going concern, because this is something we have to complete before we leave, and that's why we're very confident that it will be completed. We've received the 200 million, we've received approval for the 200 million, because the AB and the station. The audited financial statements will be signed just once the going concern is finalized, and then the annual report will be submitted. We've applied for 5-year government guarantee, and I think we did apply for approximately 1.4 billion to enable the institution to borrow the money from institutions. For the corporation to borrow money from the from institutions, they will then have the ability to repay, all the suppliers that they have in place. What the interim board will then do is, which is busy in the process of doing, that all executive management teams will be performance contract to ensure accountability. That's what we will be completing. And the SSC, we are very confident in our report, a very detailed analysis that we've done. Should we turn to profitability, in our view, I think earlier, but at the outer side by 2012, and we should be able to simply repay all the debt by the end of 2014. So we all should have a very, very positive cash flow, I think, by the end of 2014. So it's a very good position, and that's more or less what we've been able to achieve. To come on to the access to the audited general report and the findings, obviously we all know the findings that we're going up, they include feedback. The areas of an alert misconduct also very clearly outlined, for public record, for exceeding the various levels of authority under the CAA delegated authority framework. So just an update on our actions to date. At a board meeting in September, we resolved to contribute the subcommittee to consider and implement the certain processes, including the engagement of external lawyers. In September, we then also had stakeholder engagement involving senior management. We also had to have what they call revacuation processes, which we taken to all the staff in all the regions and in Auckland Park, reporting really the outcome of the audit of general report, because obviously otherwise everything will create instability and by the 28th of September, we were initial consultants with the senior members of staff to inform them of the decision of the board to impose the suspension. They had to come back to the board to say why they should not be suspended. Between 1 and 10th October, their submissions were reviewed. By the 15th of October, the board issued letters of suspension, and by the 19th, of October, the witnesses for the senior people were presented with these charges. Then the issues due to the complexity of the allegations and the seniority of the individuals involved, the disciplinary hearing starting the event will be chaired by senior counsel. And legal representation will be announced in the legal agreement to the senior counsel. And the disciplinary hearing will be commenced in the group. And due to the involvement of external counsel for some of the individuals, the target is safe as it seeks to accommodate all the counsel. A number of other issues that have come to our attention involving some senior staff members. I'm a associate of the interview, some charges are being brought to the court. Always like to review the informing of the measures I'm not being informed of that the committee. Please inform me that the committee, that the letters of demand have been issued against all the entities that were identified in the Auditor General's report. We have received responses to the letters of demand, and those responses are currently being reviewed. And then there are also meetings that have been scheduled, I think within the next week or two, with some of the suppliers to resolve some of the issues affecting funding acquisition as well, because some of them still have not been saved, they are withholding funding, so then the letters have arrived, so we are trying to resolve those as well. Then there were meetings scheduled with the appropriate authorities to explain the charges and the prosecution of the claim. The final list of charges are currently being framed because I think there's about two criminal charges. And the preliminary report on criminal charges was prepared and forwarded to the commercial branch of the staff. Then on the handover to the permanent board, our objective is to brief the incoming board to ensure continuity and to facilitate the handover. We also need to hand over and brief the shareholder on status of that, to ensure good governance practices for people to be known, that's what we have to do with the by the 1st of December, so that they get funding quickly. So we say that the, so in the moment, at the moment, it's a serious submission of a mutual financial report. Therefore, financial governance and operational challenges are very critical, and it's imperative that the, it will be imperative that the permanent board keeps the ground running to ensure that no time is wasted in taking the ship. Because the board will be developed, as we see in the paper, we have developed also an updated corporate plan which was submitted to the shareholder as well, plus the government guarantee. And in the corporate plan, we clearly outline a very detailed proposal on the service plan for the issue. So, in terms of the coordinated approach to implement the next step, both the support of the guarantee, both national treasury as well as institution will impose financial covenants to ensure all the financial ratios on it. So with the interim board governing the permanent board. So our duty is really to secure the guarantee, to kickstart the turnaround strategy that we started, ensure that all the executives are signed formal contracts by the vendors, to ensure accountability and commitment, and then to ensure smooth handover to the permanent board. That's our role. The executive authorities and the Department of Communications, so they have to impose this quite long as there are financial, the guarantees in place, some financial covenants, monthly reports, monthly tax rules, management accounts. It's what they have to look at, which is normal practice. You know, in the corporate world, we feel we can appoint individuals from the audit and financial risk committee while government guarantees in place. So that's something that we are encouraging that they do. In terms of the permanent board, we have started informal discussions as individuals. You know, but nothing formal, because we have to wait for the formal and final audit members. And then we are, they will have to ensure the monitoring of an implementation of, for this financial year in mind, of the things that we've done and we've done as well. And then hopefully by mid-November, we will then, our board will meet with the contagious to turn around strategies that the interim board and the other entities. So in conclusion, we will be focusing on measurable deliverables. We have focused on measurable deliverables for 4.5 months. By the end of November, we would have been able to have 4.5 months. It's such a long time, but that's quite a short period. We believe we've laid the foundation for the permanent book, stabilizing the efficacy at different levels. At, you know, the resolution, we will ensure once the liquidity issues and the going concern issues resolved, we're going to address the good corporate governance concern. We'll be meeting the 2010 FIFA World Cup obligation, and we can now begin a permanent board to begin the process of rebuilding a vibrant and sustainable public broadcasting. This effectively and efficiently is in the support of South African citizens and involve the confidence and restore integrity in the institution. Remember, I always remind all of us that 24 million people. We will listen to the public broadcast for what kind of you know, they, we are in touch with at least 24 million people every day. That's the huge responsibility. We believe anything is proven to be possible when everybody works together. So thank you very much.
And thank you very much for this conference overview of the work. And this is open for questions or comments.
Thank you, Chief President. I want to also thank you, Simon, for the comprehensive report. My question is around the key focus areas where she mentioned that the interim board will find the executive management team to national performance contract to ensure accountability. My question is, will this be the first time or since they had performance agreements before? And then my second question is that you say that the SABC should return to profitability in 2012 and we pay all the debt by the end of 2014. On what funding model did you base that? On the current funding model, or are you suggesting any change in the funding model? Thank you.
Thank you very much. The first one is there are performance contracts in place at the ACBC.
No.
That's a very
detailed
thank you. You're saying, based on those contracts, it's quite possible that you can receive or be entitled to a performance bonus, even though you don't need financial assistance. And the issue of performance contracts always is linked to the financial performance offer of the company. So that's really where we are making some changes. The other one is also that we have developed, and obviously with the team as well, a turnaround strategy. There's quite a lot of work that needs to be done. The team needs to be strengthened. You almost need turnaround, because when something is turnaround, it's safe. So we've made some recommendations, and one specifically a simple example of our debtor days. At the moment, the debtor days are 90 days. By just reducing the debtor days from 90 to 60 days, you could generate an additional 2 to 300 million days. Now, so there's specific things that you can do to get the plate into, you can link it to the operational expense. So those are things that executive management has been saying they're quite willing to do, they seem to do, so that when they support, you reward them. But the big issue we've been saying that they also have to be consequences, because if you don't deliver on the performance contract, there have to be consequences. And so that's the type of performance contract that we are seeing. So that's the one. The other one on the profitability is basically the funding model, obviously, is very skewed. We have made certain assumptions. We have not assumed that we think that the SABC, before they serve, we left an eye review, mental bank review, but, and there are many other people that have different views. There are two. The one is that because the public broadcaster, the government should fund the public broadcaster, which in one day, nothing wrong with that. With government funding, they could fund 50%, 60%, 80%, and other issues, 100%. Then there are another view that say that the public broadcaster service, they have a dominant position. There are 24 million people that that they service, and or customers, and people like us also come from the corporate world, that's the best position to be in. And therefore, you can have an institution that can be very profitable while so fulfilling the mandate, actually. But so you can sometimes get people who focus on just the mandate, and then you take the eye off the ball on the revenue. Then you can get people who only focus on revenue, and they take the eye off the ball on the mandate. So very important to balance the two. So what we've done is we basically say if you balance the two, without government putting that much money in, government is to maybe push it up a little bit, without putting that more money in the institution, the institution can actually be profitable. But I think that's a whole debate. I think there are content issues where the content that is acquired, that the company acquires, and that's the core demand. It is educated. It's a lot of things that government has to do, or the public broadcaster is mandated to do. But the question is, we even know more or less at the
same thing that, you know, government could fund it, it will even be more profitable, but it is a possibility. With the current funding that is in place, the government only really contributes about 3% over to the funding, which is extremely low. So I think it is an issue. Our view was, we feel the dominant player, we can fulfill the mandate, and as long as it delivers on the revenue target, we can fulfill the mandate.
We also make sure that you run efficiently. We need to know that the cost actually going to be fulfilling the public mandate, and it's about actually looking at what is the public mandate cost. So we're going to be thinking of some fairly good ways that we should run that as well.
Thank you. First of all, thank you to the extra board. It is refreshing to hear that one should look at this as a sort of a business decision, because although you have a portion which is coming from the state, it really is with your confidence to South Africans to know that that is all confidence. It is really being managed as a profitable decision. So thank you for the state that we can do so well. I just wanted to ask about two additional things. It seems that the loss that was anticipated has increased slightly from 890 to 950. Is there any particular reason for that? Or was the previous calculation of the shortfall just too low? From previous presentations to the committee, we saw a figure of about 800 million. I just wanted to know about that. And then, is that possibly due to what you have indicated, that the revenue was lower than anticipated? And obviously, most of the lower was expected. Is it advertising that is lower? What is the nature of that? And the costs were higher, notwithstanding the fact that, you know, your austerity measures actually clearly indicated that there was a difference in the then the other issue is, to what extent will certain steps that we've taken have an impact and a bearing on the contract agency with regard to a specific cost? It would be interesting to know why people in the first instance have been forgotten, but it's not only used for those sort of outcomes or costs, for costs and units, etc. Why was it in place, etc., and how would the next board ensure that all these so-called fringe benefits, which are hopefully set, how would they ensure that in future they will not again be abused of these sort of additional perks that executives are having up to one level, if that's the way to keep it that way. And then lastly, if we are getting the government guarantee within the next week, can we then expect that the audit annual report and the audit report will be made available to us in the hospital? In your plan of the rollout in the next 5 years, 2 to 5 years, how do you see it in your turnaround strategy? What is your anticipated loss that will still be made before we will return around this ship to become profitability? Will it increase from where it is now, the shortfall of $1 million, or will it increase before it becomes and I hope that your resolve to clean up will also be carried forward by the next board. operation of 4.5 months is really going to pay in the long run, because all of us have an interest in this institution. All the access, and we really want to make sure that it becomes a profitable, independent, unbiased broadcast. All of those details, I wanted to go through some of the key issues in terms of the financials, but I didn't do that, so I can provide you with something like this. But revenue basically is, obviously the market given that it has gone down. So you are some losses in terms of revenue. When the revenue goes down, you actively manage the business. You can be made for top down as well. And it's quite a reason for when they do the same way. So there's many for cost down, but the cost is so higher than the important. And that's the root of the problem. You need to do an analysis that the market share, basically, over the past 5 years, is able to see the audience rating. Generally the same. But your cost is based at the revenue, this is the revenue to March 2009 for the income, and the income of 2008 are generally the same. But the cost has really gone up, because more people have been employed. The cost of this has gone up a lot more than the revenue. So over 5 years, despite the fact that 5 years ago the organization had similar audience ratings, because the process has gone from yesterday over time. So no analysis regarding that, and that's part of the corporate journey. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Well, it's important that we now know what the tool of the fact is here, and I am continuing. There is still a concern, because obviously it's 120 million more than usually, and that we were informed in the past. It is difficult to comprehend, but obviously we will have to look at the annual statement, I suppose, the final statement, that it was not anticipated at all. That it was going to run into this huge business. In the view of the interim group, should they have been better financial planning, that's what is actually identified for weaknesses in the system. That the economic meltdown that has just contributed to all of this, what happens in other home countries, you know, in other institutions? Was it only the FMC that was really caught up in this problem? What about the other ECB universities? Do you serve the board?
Perhaps
have any information on the other democracy in the same way. Next up, you can respond to this question. I have been reading about the extent that you have to pay to go and look at other board practices. What do you think is the period that you want to get? You know, what we're finalizing is those things that we're doing, and in a way, we've got some of these that we have explored. Into the process in regards to that board, resolving the board, and why not also be able to the commission. So, what you mean is bringing things, all of those will contribute to the board, number of practices, number of practices, and if they happen to just take them into consideration, then you can't actually go in and say, so this is the game or not the game, and there's some of that information similar, and now we need
that is one of the reasons when we settled with the form of this year. Otherwise, we don't know what they have to say about this year. So they say when you don't realize business and you don't focus on it, you are getting it. You've got too many things that you have to deal with on the side to take your eyes before. So that's why the auditor general identified one of the things to find the government that is on so it's basically the direction.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairperson. And thank you very much, Tony, for this very thorough and very detailed presentation. I have two questions. You showed in one of your slides about the filling of two vacant positions. I think it's a hard one about this a little bit because I haven't quite gotten an answer, a very comprehensive answer. I see in the presentation you mentioned that the COO appointment will be in line with court order. But on the question of the group CEO and head of news, how much involvement is the incoming board going to have in that choosing the successful candidate? I ask this because one of the things we saw in our own eyes here in Parliament, and which contributed, to the crisis that we see ourselves in now is the friction that existed between the executive committee and the board. And many people have attributed that to the fact that the board was inheriting executive members from previous boards and wasn't able to instill much confidence in people who had appointed. So if you could give me as much detail as you can about how much involvement the permanent board is going to have in choosing these two candidates. My second question is about the £200 million from the Treasury. And you said that it's used for local content, which is already being commissioned and the payment then comes through between November and March. Do you think that's going to be enough to stabilize the independent producers in the industry, enough that it will still be a robust you know, industry which will still be able to work with the SABC post this whole crisis. And what other measures have you been involved in instituting in order to stabilize the livelihoods of independent producers? I could be wrong, but I recall when they approached either Arts and Culture or GPI for assistance. If you could give as much detail again about what the involvement of the interim board has been in that regard. Sorry, Mr. Chair, I actually have a third question I forgot about. When do you anticipate the handover to the permanent board? Will it be late this year or early next year? Thank you very much.
One of the key things we said that we would like to form the key producers, and we started that process. And as I said, with a group CEO position, we are, for example, the applicants close already in December, months have gone by, have 5 weeks now. We're in the process now, the timing, of course, is, you know, you act it very clear. When you have the position, those positions, the board needs to they will interview people, they will source this, and they will make a recommendation to the minister, to the executive authority, who will then, you know, either accept the recommendation or reject that for the decision to be made. So all we have to do is fulfill that. In terms of from a regulation and legislative point of view, you know, there's nothing that says involve the new board or somebody else. But as members of the interim board, we would certainly like, and we always say that we would like to involve the new permanent board, but we cannot even embark on the process until the process is part of the community. And that's what we're working for. We're hoping that in between, you know, there's a week or two we can at least involved in. We need to perform the process to see where we get to. To find the right candidate, we must make a recommendation. If we don't find the right candidate, we don't have to agree with the thing that we have to do with the person. But as much as we can, as easy as possible, we would like even as experts to offer people who would like to get in the role. That's the sort of put all these things, it's a matter of the time. But all we are doing, we are just going to ask you to add the board at this time. That's all we do, and in line with what we have asked, we still have to call it a few days ago. That's the one. I couldn't remember, you said something about the COO, but it's not the fourth order. So that's where we will be. Regarding the 200 million, remember if we take the amount together, we say 200 is what the 200 million is on the scheme. That 200 million is part of the overall amount that we receive. So if you take the 200 million and add the 1.473 billion, we're talking 1.6 billion in total. So the 200, when I say the 200 million, it will only be used for part of the commission progress already. Once you get the guarantee of tools and you raise the money, then that fund will be used for something that has not been commissioned for that, and that fund is now commissioned for the walking fund for that, because our purpose is to sustain the industry. And that is why the board and management work very closely with the industry. So they also want to ensure the sustainability, and they want to expand the industry. That's why they are going to other industries like this, and I think that is why they've done that. Because objective is aligned with the mandate of the broadcaster, the SABC, the public broadcaster, to produce with the science of living on part of the mandate to develop the industry. So the 200 million is going towards that, but it's not the total amount, because the guarantee is part of it. and we are looking at other institutions to
focus on. So, there's different things. One, the commission on the funding of Spain, and that's been the specific. Two, we got involved because of the difficulties that they're facing with agencies. It isn't only due to agencies. Every sector in this year is very difficult to do, which is why we began to start the process of what's called the fixed industry. What we've done separately from the relationships we have a group, and looking at other ways of growing up, staying in terms of major areas within those spaces, is that what's changed not only after the agency to build a local content industry. That's the real thing. The government part of this journey, you've got BCI, Department of Arts and Culture and the Department of Communication to develop policies around development of a content and film industry. And nowhere in the world has it ever just relied only on public broadcasting to grow and become vibrant. So we're assisting and working with them in order to help them through a particularly difficult period. The symbiotic relationship where we need them to deliver the content and they need us to show the content they share. But it isn't only up to a public broadcaster, it's up to other broadcasters that also we need assistance everywhere in the world. And as other countries in which it grows, it's being treated like BCI has done on rebates and the whole other range of networks that we're going to be talking about.
Mid-November, we will start. But we are busy preparing everything. Find the decision, outstanding issues, documents we prepared. So we're preparing for the board and we need a copy of it, depending on the availability of the team, a few days. Once they're appointed, and we can only do that once we're appointed the team, we want to be able to start the meeting.
To me, it's trying to address most of the issues raised before in our meeting. It's also trying to raise on one issue, which is like the issue in our report. Most of the issues are kept up in this report and very much in fact in the report. If we can do the issues, I think this will be the issue that we have. But obviously, the question for me is not a concern. Our concern is the reason I should have on something. That this report says, I didn't really question say much about the process of the application to the system administration. That is also a part of the other channel, the parliamentary channel that we are people as well. We are talking how far is the process? Are we on track? Are we ready? Are there any barriers to the run out of the process? The other issue is in regards to the personal or the family grounds. That's part of the country, the what happened. I'm also interested in part of this. But I also want to say, what will happen to the people who have already needed to do and for support from using this personal card? Does this mean that are they off the hook or something is to be done? Are they part of the people who are going to go to the disciplinary process? Lastly, it will be just to our readiness as a new citizen in terms of being safe. I hear in your report that you have received a specific focus for 4 to 5 months, being the foundation for the current report. But are you saying that the community or the staff is not going to wait till that official report to the permanent board and over the board?
I will dedicate to GPT Mac Baker and our father, Joseph, to
study and get. And then our readiness for 10% our study gets at the target. And then what will happen to the people who have used the special class, I mean some of them are part of the disciplinary process that we talk about in terms of the process of the we remember we said that we have some junior employees who we also investigating some of them, and part of the special class will relate to some of the active employees, some of the junior employees. So it is part of the target of some of the students in terms of special class. A real special class of I'll ask the little back if you know the DCC. In relation to the DCC, it would be as planned, and we would have known that we were going to have time to know that we were going to be able to know that we were going to be able to know that we were going to be able to know that we were going to be able to know that we were going to be able to know that we were going to be able to know that we were going to be able to know that we were going to be able to know that so they reopen the process. So there aren't just final regulations which will define exactly what the FABC or any other broadcasting responsibilities will be. After those regulations are finalized and the council speaks about it, then we'll start the licensing process. So we can put plans on what would be what the FABC would be applying for in terms of license. But until you know what the council has awarded, it's very difficult to find out. But it is ongoing. There is currently a test running. The pilot project which is going to be doing together with other broadcasters, together with Fintech, which is testing both the signals and the signal box equipment, as well as starting the process of testing some of the channels on. So additional channels on there at the moment. Entertainment one, it shares with education. There is a news channel, there is a sports channel, using content that has previously been used. And all the radio stations on this channel as well. What happened with the it's 2,700 people that have set-top boxes, and there is ongoing testing of them to see what would be, what are they liking about the country, what difficulties are they having with set-top boxes, what would they change? It's enabling all boards, not only SABC. Yeah, it's actually not sure what did you want to watch and to hear? What sort of programs did they like? So it's definitely on track. The necessary equipment has been, we've approved Senegal to make sure it's possible with equipment. Yeah. And it could be part of the system